beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, again as we come to this Psalm 23, a psalm of comfort, a psalm of protection, a psalm of provision, a psalm of preservation. We understand as we read through Psalm 23 that the Lord cares for His people. And we need to understand that as the people of God, that the Lord is always watching over His people. There is never a time where the Lord is not caring for His people. There is never a time that the Lord is not protecting His people, providing for His people, or preserving His people. This is the promise of the Word of God. One of the difficulties I think that we have as the people of God is that we don't have the Word of God dwelling in us as we ought. And when we don't have the Word of God dwelling in us as we ought to have, then when we go through the trying and difficult times of life, we have a crisis of faith. And we want to know at those points, where is the Lord? We hear such things that when 9/11 occurred, where was God when 9/11 happened? Standard answer. Same place He was at 9/10 and 9/12. Ruling the universe according to His own glory and power and wisdom. Fulfilling His purposes for His glory and the praise of His Son and the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's where God was, because the Scriptures say that God rules over the kingdoms of men. The Scripture says that not a hair falls from our head or a sparrow in the forest without the will of our Heavenly Father. If He cares for the most minute things of this world, how about the greater things? We don't understand what the Scriptures teach regarding these matters, lest we have a crisis when we go through tribulation. Let me ask you a question. Do you think because you are a believer that you will not suffer hardship? Do you think because you're a believer that you won't go through times of trial and difficulty and sickness and affliction and persecution and loneliness and depression and grief and sorrow? Do you think because you're a believer you won't go through these things? Well, if you don't think that you're going to go through these things, again, you have not internalized the Word. You have not took your reflection of the Word in constructing your thoughts. You are not thinking God's thoughts after Him if you think you're going to have a life of ease. Jesus told His disciples in John 16, in this world, you will have tribulation. It said of Job that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man who is few of days is full of trouble. Trouble hits us in this life. Death is coming to all of us. We all have loved ones who have died. Sickness and grief and affliction. And beloved, if you don't understand it from the perspective of heaven, God's Word, then you'll have a crisis of faith when these things come upon you. If you're listening to the heretics on the TV, these evangelists that are false teachers who tell you that if you're a believer, your life should be pristine, that there shouldn't be any problems or difficulties, and if there is in your life difficulties and problems, you don't have enough faith. That's nonsense. That's rubbish. That's garbage. And you ought to understand it so, because it's contrary to the teaching of Scripture. We're getting older. We're falling to the earth. We're struggling with bodily affliction. We're struggling with loved ones who are not believers. We're struggling in a godless world. We're struggling with the denial and the blasphemy of so many against the only Savior, the only Mediator, the Great Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who so many use His name as a household swear word. We struggle with these things as believers. The Apostle Paul, who is probably one of the most godly men of all the Christian faith, as you read about his life in Scripture, went through all kinds of hardship. He was shipwrecked. He was left out in the sea for a night and a day. He was beaten by rods. He was afflicted. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was beaten with rods numerous times. Besides all that, he says, my continual care for the church. And he says, am I not depressed? Am I not struggling? Am I not grieving? I had a thorn in my flesh, and I prayed 3 times to the Lord that it might be removed from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my grace is made perfect through weakness. Paul suffered. He suffered greatly. He had friends who suffered. He had people that were sick on the island of Miletus. Tychicus, he left sick on the island of Miletus. Timothy was weak. He was afflicted. He was given unto fear and depression. And so that comes to us, beloved, as the people of God. We need the comfort of God's Word. The Scripture tells us that it's through the patience and the comfort of Scripture that we have hope. Now, you're intelligent people. Think that through. It's through the patience and the comfort of Scripture that we have hope. And so to the degree that we're not immersed in the patience and the comfort of Scripture, to that degree we don't have hope. We have struggles. We have crises in our faith. The admonition of Scripture is to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. When do you sing with grace in your heart unto the Lord? When you instruct yourself by the Scriptures. You see, you've heard me say this before. Don't talk to yourself, because you'll talk yourself out of the kingdom of Christ. You'll come up with an excuse for 1,000 excuses. Speak the Scriptures to your soul. Let the Word of God speak to you. David, when he was depressed, went to the Word of God. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Return to the scroll, to the Scriptures. Look to God's book and find the comfort from His Word. When Asaph was struggling with the prosperity of the wicked, he said, my feet almost slipped until I went into the house of the Lord, and then I understood their end, that you have set them in slippery places. Again, Asaph, recovering from his stumbling by the Word of God. The Word of God instructing him in the night. David says he spoke the Word of God to himself in the night visions to himself, speaking while he lays on his bed, meditating on the truth of God's Word, letting it dwell in him and instruct his mind that in every area, in every aspect, at every turn, he might do those things that are pleasing and right and holy in the sight of the God that has redeemed him from all his sin and all his misery. Beloved, we need comfort. This Psalm 23 is a psalm of comfort. Just simply in review, look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We don't have any need, we don't have any lack. To have want, not to have want, simply means we don't have a lack. God supplies our needs. He uses the imagery here of a shepherd with his sheep. And if you look through the teaching of Scripture, you'll understand that imagery, that metaphor that's given all throughout Scripture about God as our shepherd. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's look at a few Scripture references that deal with exactly this metaphor as God as our shepherd. Look at Psalm 79. Psalm 79 and verse 13. So we, your people, and sheep of your pasture. Notice that this already speaks as God as being the shepherd. The people of God are referred to as sheep, and God is referred to as the shepherd. Who was the one who would comfort? The shepherd. Who is the one who would protect? The shepherd. Who is the one that would provide provision for the sheep, the shepherd. God is the shepherd. Notice that in Psalm 79:13. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever, and we will show forth your praise to all generations. Notice Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, and you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Notice that God is referred to as the shepherd who leads his people. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. We won't go to every one of the scriptures that refer to God as a shepherd, but just a few in the Old Testament. You'll see a couple in the New Testament. Isaiah 40 and verse 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And he will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Notice the shepherd analogy, the imagery there of God carrying his people. Isn't this the imagery given of the Israelites as they were brought out of the land of Egypt, that the Lord led them as an eagle's wings? He carried them out of that furnace of fire in Egypt into the promised land. It was God who led his people in a straight way, as David said in Psalm 23. Again, Isaiah 63 and verse 11. Isaiah 63, beginning at verse 11. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, "Where is he who brought them out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they might not stumble? As a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people to make a glorious name for yourself." God again with the imagery of leading his people out of the desert into the promised land. God led them by a pillar of fire by day, and he led them by night, and he led them by a cloud by day. Notice God providing a provision for his people and leading them, instructing them, and directing them. Look at John chapter 10 in the New Testament. God is called the shepherd of Israel. This is who he is. The metaphor is given to. God is the one who leads. God is the one who directs his people. We looked at this last Lord's Day as the scripture reference, the text that we read. Notice that Jesus said in John chapter 10, he says in verse 9, that I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. If you scan down to verse 14, you see where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." What did Jesus do for his sheep? He leads his sheep. He guides his sheep. He is the one who redeems his sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 26. "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hand." Jesus says that he has sheep that he gives life to, life more abundantly, everlasting life, already implying that he is the shepherd. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 13. Notice what the writer of the Hebrews says about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead," notice this, "that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work, to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Jesus is called the great shepherd of the sheep. He leads His flock. And let me do one more. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. For you were like the sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus, the good shepherd, as the Scriptures declare to us, God is the shepherd, and therefore we have no lack. He provides for us. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He provides our nourishment. Where is our nourishment spiritually as the people of God? God not only cares for us bodily, but He cares for our soul. He provides for us the physical food that we need, but He provides for us spiritual blessing in nourishment. What is that food? Jesus told Peter, if you love me, obey my commandments. And then He told him in a restoration for having denied Him three times, if you love me, feed my sheep. What is it that Peter was to feed the sheep of Christ's pasture with? With the Word of God. It's the Word that nourishes our soul. It's the Word that strengthens us. He leads us beside green pastures and beside the still waters. He provides for us good food, cool drink, and a resting place. Sheep are naturally animals that are not easily rest. They're anxious. There's much anxiety. It's a reason, beloved, that we're referred to as sheep. Sheep are those that wander. Sheep don't understand, being brute beasts as they are, how green the pastures that they're in. Sheep will gobble up anything in their way. The shepherd needs to go before the sheep, gleaning the field, taking all of the weeds and the poisonous plants from the field, because the sheep will eat them up. As I told you last Lord's Day, a friend I had in South Dakota with his sheep that ate all the corn till they killed themselves. They overeat. They get lost. They can't find their way back. They push through the fence. Their fleece gets so thick that it has to continually be groomed, and ticks and all kinds of things get into it, and it becomes dirty, and they put off some kind of a grease that comes on their fleece, and it can't be washed. They can't wash themselves. Sheep are simply helpless creatures. And the Scriptures refer to us as sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We were on the broad road. We would have continued on the broad road because we don't understand how great we have it as the sheep of God's pasture. We're always looking for more. And don't think that you're not. We are. We're discontent. We want more. And when we say we want more, we are making a declaration that God has not satisfied for our needs. Providentially, beloved, we have what we have by the design of God. We all have what we have by God's design, and we need to learn to be content. Why? Because our shepherd cares for us. Notice our text this morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is David as a shepherd, but also the sheep of God's pasture. You think of the double imagery here, that David is a shepherd. And God has chosen to lead His flock by under-shepherds. Those whom He has anointed, those whom He has called and gifted, and He brings forward through the testimony or the recognition of the church. And they go forth to pastor the flocks in Christ's stead. But David has an imagery of a shepherd, but he also is a sheep. I am a pastor. Poimen is the Greek term, and it means a shepherd. One who guides and directs in the truth of God's Word the people of God. But I'm also a sheep of Christ's pasture. I also need to be led so that I might lead. I'm led by the Word that I might lead others in a straight way for the glory of God's name's sake. That's the purpose that we walk in a straight path. That's the purpose that God leads us. Not to say how good we are, but to glory in His holy name and in His goodness. David, as a shepherd, think of the imagery, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You see, as David led his flock, there would be lots of, in the mountainous region, lots of crevices and different areas of the mountain that would bring a lot of shade. So, in other words, as leading his flock through these certain crags in the mountains, there would be darkness. There would be a lack of light. It's the perfect place for those who would want to rob him, or for wild animals to hide in the mountainous area where the sheep couldn't see what was coming upon them. They couldn't be alerted, but they were scared going through that. But notice, as it says here, that walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't say walking through death. Shadows of death. You see, Christ has walked through that death for us. That's a death we'll never have to walk through. It's the shadows of death. It's the things that affrighten us like death. When you get the phone call that it's cancerous and your heart sinks. When a loved one dies. When you're fired from your job. When there's sorrow and grief and affliction. And when we're afflicted bodily, we're afflicted spiritually. Shadows of death. We're not to fear. Why are we not to fear? Because we're so strong? No, because the shepherd is with us. That's why we don't fear. I fear no evil. Evil is all around us. Paul even said that the days are evil. Evil men grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Murder is on the rise. People lie and cheat and steal every single moment of every single day. Adultery is commonplace. Murder is commonplace in the world. There is evil all around. You know, as parents, if you go back years and years, and parents will say, "Well, you know, when we were kids, we never even feared those type of things." We live in a day and age where it comes into our home through the internet. It comes into our home through our cell phones. There's evil all around. And you think about your kids, and do you fear for your kids? It's a shadow of death. But we're not to fear, because the shepherd is with us. Evil comes. The evil day comes. It's coming, beloved. But we're not to fear, because we know who shepherds us. That's the confidence in God's provision for us, His protection over us. You think of the protection that God gives to His people? Classic. Job. He literally says this. Satan says to God, "You put a hedge around him. I can't get at him. Because you put a hedge around him." God's hands were around Job so that Satan could not get at him. And when the Lord told Satan, "All that he has is in your power, only do not put a finger on the man." Do you think Satan could put a finger on him? Absolutely not. Because the great shepherd was caring for one of his sheep. And he said, "You shall not put a finger on him." And when the Lord says, "You shall not," you will not do it. When he gave him and he says, "He is in your hands, only you shall not kill him." Do you think Satan wanted to kill him? Do you think if he could, he would have? But God said, "You cannot. You will not." That's the hedge of protection. Is it any different for us as the sheep of God's pasture? What passes to us, beloved, has gone through the hands of our Heavenly Father who loves us with a paternal care. We are His sheep. He has bought us. He has paid for us with the blood of His Son. And if He has given us the greatest, will He not much more also likely give us all things? What will He withhold from us as the sheep of His pasture? God caring for us. "You are with me." Can you say that this morning? Do you have confidence that you are one of the redeemed of Christ and He is with you? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who says, "Come to me. I give you rest." Think of the imagery here. He makes us lie down. "I give you rest," Jesus said. "I comfort you. I give you spiritual rest. You are the sheep of my pasture. Come to me. I give you eternal life. You shall never perish." Notice the protection. "And neither shall anyone snatch you from my hands. My Father who gave you to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch you from my Father's hands." Are you confident, beloved, that the Lord is with you? When you get the phone call, when your doctor tells you it's cancerous, when there is a death of a loved one, when you go through the depression spiritually, and don't think Christians don't go through depression. We do. We go through those dark nights of the soul. We go through those struggles, those trials, those difficulties. Martin Luther, in the tower in Wartburg, prayed this prayer. He said, "God, do you not hear me? Are you dead?" And he said, "No, no, thou cannot die. You hear all. Lord, hear me. Rise up, O Lord." You see, he strengthened himself in what he knew. But he had that time of depression. He had that time of the pushing down of the soul. David went through time of depression. When he committed adultery with Bathsheba, he said in Psalm 32, it was like his life juices had dried up and there was no more vitality in his life until he repented. He returned to the Lord and then he found strength and he confessed his sin and the Lord forgave. David was having the spiritual depression. Beloved, we go through that. Are you confident while you go through that spiritual depression that the Lord is with you? You see, the Lord leads us down paths for His name's sake. And some paths that some sheep of the flock of Christ go down are easier than others. Some sheep are led by God down difficult paths. But make no mistake that the easy path and the hard path are both the leading by the shepherd. And we are led down these paths that we might grow in Christ's likeness. And we are led down these paths, and truth be told, beloved, you have more confidence when you're going through the times of sorrow and sickness as you're drawn near to your Savior. That's where the Lord does His refining work, where the potter smashes down the clay and begins to reform it for His glory. Understand that. Fearing no evil, because you are with me, your rod and your staff. The rod was given for discipline. The staff and the rod that are with the shepherd are used to guide and to direct and to beat off wolves. There's comfort in knowing that God defends us from all our enemies. He preserves us from all our enemies. It's the Lord who goes before us. He fights the battle. Who won the battle of Jericho? Who conquered Ai? Who was it that conquered the Philistines? Was it not the Lord who drove out the Philistines, who were giants in the land? They were driven out by hornets that God sent. Who was it that fought for the Israelites when the Assyrians came before them? Was it not the angel of the Lord who went throughout the camp of Assyria and slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers? So when the Israelites awoke and they saw that the Lord's battle was won, and it was won by the hand of the Lord. It's God who fights the battle for His people. It's God who preserves His people. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You come against my people, you come against me, and I come against you. And no one can withstand the hand of our God." What about Elisha with his servant Gehazi? Remember when they woke up from the tent and Syria was all around them? And Gehazi the servant was trembling. And Elijah prayed, "Lord, open his eyes." Elijah had said to Gehazi, "Take it easy. Those who are with us are more than those against us." And all Gehazi sees is him and Elisha. And he prays, he says, Lord, open up their eyes, his eyes, and he does. And he sees behind the Syrian army that's gathered all around the mountain to come after Elisha, the chariots of the Lord's army. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us. The Lord protects the sheep of His flock. Do you have that confidence? If you're lacking that confidence, if you're lacking that assurance, get into the Word. Because the Word gives us that confidence. It teaches us that the Lord is our protector. He prepares a table before me in the presence of the enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. It's a provision of the Lord. You know what Paul said? Three times I prayed to the Lord. And he said, remove this thorn from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know that's hyperbole. God's grace is more than sufficient. God's grace runs over. God's grace that He brings to His people is an abundance. God provides us for all we need. We need simply to reflect upon what God has done for us in His Son. Our cup runs over. God prepares that before the enemies. This table. Sit down and feast and dine with me and do not worry and be anxious about your enemies. I have redeemed you. I protect you. I watch over you. That was a great honor to eat and dine before the enemies who were standing afar off, who could not come and approach you in battle. Why? Because the shepherd watches over you. I saw a picture the other day, and it was a sheep, a lamb, lying on the ground, and a wolf standing over the lamb with his teeth pulled back, ready to devour. And the lamb's picture said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And behind that wolf was a huge head of a lion bearing down upon that wolf. What an image. You see, things aren't always as we see. There is an unseen world that takes place beyond the heavens that we can see to. There is spiritual warfare going on every moment of every day that we don't even see. We're oblivious to it. We didn't even think about it. How often do you think about the angels of God doing battle with the demons of hell? That's happening now, beloved, right now. There is an enemy of our souls whom we cannot see, who comes against us continually like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Yet we have a shepherd that overshadows him. That with one little word, as the hymn goes, one little word will fell him. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We say that, and we can say that, and we ought to say that because of Christ. He's the good shepherd who provides, protects, and preserves us against all of our enemies. Till that day, beloved, when kingdom comes, the new heavens and the new earth, wherein righteousness, the people of God, shine forth as those redeemed by the Lamb of God. We are those that always goodness and mercy follow us. Why? Because they are in Christ Jesus. Even the evil that He sends upon us in this veil of tears, He turns to our good. He is able, being Almighty God, and willing also, being a faithful Father, a loving Father, a gracious Father, a merciful Father. That's why goodness and mercy follows us, because God is good to us in Christ Jesus, who has redeemed us body and soul from Satan and from sin and from eternal damnation. Beloved, this is a comforting psalm that God is with us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Jesus said to His disciples, Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. That's our comfort. When you meditate upon the truth of God's Word, it gives you comfort. And He strengthens you by His Spirit to persevere through all the trials, through all the dark days, with a confident assurance that nothing, you catch that word? Nothing shall separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. God has said it. Therefore, beloved, as the people of God, believe that word and have confident assurance in your soul, in your great shepherd who laid down his life for you. Amen. Shall we pray?